besides the government building, none of the buildings were full. And now we've only, I think, got two buildings that are empty. In every glass, we're trying to promote South Georgia agriculture. So we want to promote organic farming, sustainable farming practices, and appropriate use of natural resources.
Beer. Some people celebrate with it, others mourn with it. Some reports say that the first solid proof of beer production comes from the period of the Sumerians around 4000 BC. Others claim that the earliest beer discovered is from 13,000 BC. No matter which is true, we know that beer has been bringing people together in good times and bad for thousands of years. It's a tradition the world over, and in Albany, Georgia, it's a way of life.
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, featuring the stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the Peach State and beyond. Today we're in the southwest corner of the state in Georgia's 10th largest city, Albany. Across the street from the Flint River Aquarium is where you'll find Pretoria Fields Brewery and Pretoria Fields Collective.
Now, I'm a physician. I come from a long line of pharmacists.
That is Dr. Tripp Morgan. Yep, today we're talking to a doctor about beer. And we're going to talk to him about hemp, too. This is going to be a good one.
All right, well, brewing, I guess, and the brewery was not your original profession.
No, not at all. No, I'm a physician. And so my dad and sister are both pharmacists, and he ran a small town pharmacy in Camilla, Georgia for my entire life. Now, we also had a family farm. And so my dad, he went to Vietnam and came back. He actually was an agricultural economics major. Never really used his ag degree. He ended up going to pharmacy school. Well, I came back after medical school and had established my practice, and he had retired. And lo and behold, he wanted to farm, so we went into business together. I had a farm in Camilla, and we bought a farm in Albany. I decided we wanted to do something a little bit different. So we, being in health and wellness, being a physician, we got our farm organic certified. And we're going through that. We did some small grains, we did blueberries and blackberries, and really we're trying to find an added benefit for the products that we're already making. Omaha Brewing was doing well, and they were sort of out in the middle of nowhere, kind of like we are out in Pretoria, Georgia. So trying to capitalize on agricultural tourism, we decided to open a brewery. After the downtown development found out about our project, they actually invested in us and moved my small idea of a small brewery on our farm to a much bigger idea of a large downtown brewery with a tap room and 30-barrel brewing facility. So it really quickly went from a little project to a much bigger project. But staying the same with our idea of in every glass, we're trying to promote South Georgia agriculture. So we want to promote organic farming, sustainable farming practices, and appropriate use of natural resources. Part of that promotion is we've done through our partnerships, and one of those is with the Flint River Keeper. And you said you like our beer, Shoaly. Well, it's named after the shoal bass. And we give 2% of all the sales back to the Flint River Keeper for sustainable habitat management for that particular product. So we're trying to not only are we trying to promote agriculture, but be good stewards to our environment locally and as well as statewide.
Dr. Tripp is doing a good job of that. First, moving the brewery to downtown Albany has been really good for the city.
We opened December 7th, 2018. When we came down here, there, besides the government building, none of the buildings were full. And now we've only, I think, got two buildings that are empty. So it's really spurred development in the downtown area.
Dr. Tripp also mentioned that their goal is to promote South Georgia agriculture. And Pretoria Fields is doing exactly that.
We grow Cascade hops. They've done very well. The past 2 years, we've had enough to do a small batch of wet hop beers through hops that were grown specifically on the farm. So that's been awesome. We've continued to propagate the hops that we have. So we're up to a little over an acre now, or acre and a half. And so that particular part has done awesome. We started this project 5 years ago, just thinking about the things that we wanted to grow. Grew four different types of barleys. We've done three or four different types of wheat, oats, corn, all looking at varietals that our brewers wanted to use, and so we could then propagate and use those, and then tell other farmers about what we're doing to try to spread the wealth, I guess, a good way to think of it. Yeah.
It's got to be kind of neat having a blueberry farmer and different fruits, all these folks that you're helping support by putting their product in your beer. How important is it to you to have these South Georgia farmers be a part of this collective?
Oh gosh, I mean, huge. So I mean, the biggest products, and we're not helping the industrial farmer. I mean, we're helping the smaller guy. I mean, the guy who's not farming as many acres as you would think about with those things, who's maybe trying to get involved in some other products besides corn, cotton, and peanuts. And so blueberries, blackberries are traditional grains that we're trying to promote, organically grown, sustainably farmed, and of course, not genetically modified, of course. And even if where we can, substituting antiquarian grains or things from things that maybe were more traditionally grown around here.
When people are drinking your beer, how much of Georgia can they have in that beer?
Yeah, it depends on which one it is, right? So hops, there's really interesting hops that come from all over the world. And so we certainly want to be able to provide that. So like Scholey itself is a West Coast IPA. Supposed to be West Coast IPA. It's got that particular flavor to it. But Skywater, which is our golden ale, all of the grain is grown in Georgia, was malted in Georgia. So it's 80% Georgia grown. And you commented on our Berry Gozo, which is one of our seasonals. Yeah, super proud of that one, because wheat, coriander, and sea salt, wheat berries were grown right here, and the blueberries and blackberries are grown right here. So for almost all of our beers now, we're 50% plus as far as what ingredients actually came from Georgia. And a lot of that came from us going out and recreating a barley production in South Georgia, which really hadn't been done since the 70s.
And since Pretoria Fields is striving for sustainable organic farming, is the beer they brew a healthier option?
Well, that's what we're trying to do, right? I mean, so, all the products that we're making are either being organically grown, or they're being grown with as few of the farm products as we can. So some of our farmers, they still grow industrially, right? But we just ask them to limit the amount that they can, for sure.
We always hear about wine having all these great components, health components, yeah, to wine, and you don't hear about it as much from beer.
Yeah, so there's a great book, Dr. Lee, Food and Health and Disease. And so he describes the health benefits that have been found in beer. And the chemical actually starts with an X, X-I-M-E-R-T-R-O-L, Zymetrol or something. I don't know exactly how you say it. But it has a chemical property similar to that we always talk about, which is good in wine. So they did find it in beer. So that's a thing.
Score one for the beer doctor. And beer is not the only thing at Pretoria Fields Collective. There's also hemp.
So we thought it would make sense for us, for our business model, Because of my background in medicine, we try to promote health. And we're promoting health through organic farming, and we're promoting health through sustainable farming. And if I can get people to think about thinking that way, then maybe we can get them to think about how cannabis could also be, you know, is a sustainable farming product. I mean, it's been grown, well, it's probably been grown with us ever since we started farming, meaning thousands, if not tens of thousands of years. The products itself were used to have been used to feed everything from the cattle, and then you eat the cattle to get the products, you know, the product itself out of it, to be able to use the stem itself for clothing, to be able to use the roots for tea. It has to be grown organically though, and so it's a universal extractor out of the dirt, so it'll pull up any organic molecules. So if there's pesticides or organophosphates or heavy metals in the ground and you're not farming appropriately, you can actually create a product that's harmful, not helpful. So it's very important that you know where your hemp's coming from, or your cannabis products, or your CBD is coming from. Because of that practice, and also because of this idea that I feel like we have to have industrial farming. I mean, there's no doubt. We couldn't feed all the people, not only in the United States, but in the world without it. But at the same time, industrial farming is making us sick. I mean, there's increase in diabetes, hypertension, rheumatologic disease. All of these things have gone up over the past year. The number one increase in autoimmune disease is actually with farmers. And so why is that? Well, because they're exposed to one idea is that they're exposed to a lot of chemicals to be able to create those products.
So how can hemp help?
You look at the residual chemicals in corn, cotton, and peanuts, and what you've got is you're spraying your corn, but the residue is built up over the years, and it's also killing your peanuts, or you're spraying your cotton and it's injuring your corn or one of your other products later on. One of the ideas with sustainable hemp farming, or adding that, say, into a rotation crop, which is one of the things that we were promoting in the state of Georgia, would be that it would pull out a lot of that residual and actually clean the ground. And so let's say you do corn, cotton, peanuts, and then hemp for fiber. Now, we couldn't use that hemp for CBD or its medicinal components because it's actually concentrated a lot of those chemicals within its leaves. So, but there's no reason why, and it's grown just like a lot of the crops that our local farmers are already used to. So you would be taking, in that instance, and possibly making industrial farming just a little bit safer. And so I think the way all of that's going to happen is that we're going to continue to find ways to make organic farming better and be able to do it better and be able to scale it up on a bigger level. But also we're going to be able to make industrial farming safer through hundreds of little things like that, where hopefully the two things will meet in the middle, you know. And not only that, you know, think about costs. So what's the cost for diabetes every year? What's the cost for hypertension disease? What's the cost for rheumatologic disease? Where, you know, where there's got to be some benefit that society sees that they put back in being able to both promote organic farming as well as promote the idea of making industrial farming safer.
This isn't just a business for Dr. Tripp. It's a service. It's a public good. 143 miles northeast of Albany is Cobbtown, Georgia. This is where some of the hemp is grown for Pretoria Fields Collective. And through the magic of podcasting, we can jump right to the Handy Kennedy Farm.
My name is Handy Kennedy Jr.
Okay, Handy Kennedy Jr. We're on Handy Kennedy Road. Tell me about this farm and what's going on behind me.
Basically, this farm, the legacy of this farm, been in the family since 1869. Right after slavery, my great-grandfather Handy and Elizabeth Jane bought 175 acres from a guy by the name of Cobb, which Cobbtown is basically named after. He bought 175 acres, and he passed that 175 acres on to his son. His son, Marston Kennedy, before his passing, grew it to like 1,700 acres. And then when my grandfather split it up amongst his 13 kids, my father bought 1,000 acres of it. And this is where we sit right now, is on the 1,000 acres that my father bought from his father, Marston Kennedy. So which is included about 1,000 acres. But all together now, we farm about 1,200 acres.
How did you get started in this?
I started researching hemp probably about 2017, just kind of reading up and basically reading, seeing what they were doing out west. I was already intrigued about hemp. I knew that, I believed that hemp was industrial and a revolutionary crop. And I knew that it was going to bring some opportunity for small farmers like ourselves to give us the opportunity to make some extra revenue. And when I really started researching and learning out about the different aspects of it and what you can really do with hemp, with the CBD, with the seed, and with the fiber, I knew that this was going to be a crop that we have to really invest in on the ground level. And so therefore, I researched it. And when Georgia passed the law to allow us to start growing, I started researching processors that really had the best interest of small farmers in mind. And I ran across Victoria Field. They had a couple of presentations throughout the state where they were trying to recruit farmers to grow very small acreage of hemp, which were perfect for me, you know, because it's a very expensive crop to grow. And with them allowing me to grow one to 2 acres was perfect. And so after going to a couple of their meetings and listening to their leadership team, explaining to them what they were trying to do, I realized it was going to be the best fit for us processors in Georgia for HK Farm.
This is the very definition of neighbors helping neighbors. Now we need to know what Pretoria Fields is doing with the hemp grown by Handy Kennedy Jr.
There's a lot of misunderstanding because it's newly legal, with cannabis, between marijuana and hemp. Mm-hmm. There is a line. There is a difference.
Oh yeah, definitely. So anybody who farms understands the idea of different cultivars. And so cannabis sativa and cannabis indica. And even when it was brought and used for medicinal purposes, the indica plant was always the one that was considered sort of the smokable herb that got you high. And the sativa plant was the fiber hemp that was used to make paper and clothes and used it for tea and then used the seeds as the other components. Now, there are lots of different, now there are many, many, many cultivars of both of those. And so that doesn't totally hold true as far as the plant biology goes. I mean, there's books written about it. But just for simple understanding, the hemp varieties that we grow, the THC genes or the genes that would make it marijuana, quote unquote, I don't like that term, but that's what most people think about it as, they're knocked out. So they don't actually, they're not activated in that particular plant they're growing. And everything has to be, as far as the state law, under 0.3% THC. So, and the other thing that people need to realize is that we're growing it for a high CBD content, and the increase in the CBD actually suppresses THC effect. So there's several different reasons that it both has the beneficial effects and it also wouldn't, you know, doesn't have the euphoric effects.
I do like how well-studied Dr. Tripp is. He hasn't gone into this venture willy-nilly. No, he's done his homework. A group of farmers, physicians, and pharmacists brewing beer and creating CBD products. That's Pretoria Fields Collective in Albany, Georgia. So the next time you're in downtown Albany, be sure to visit the brewery and the tap room. Thank you for joining me on this episode. Did you know that you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the GPB.org website? That is also where you can listen and subscribe to this podcast, or you can download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.